Now I want to talk about homework and grades and all the things that when it gets a little bumpy, we end up arguing with our kids about and feel frustrated about. If we want to help our kids succeed in school, it is very important that we help them get organized. They need to learn to write down the assignment. In the house, we need to reach agreement what time they will do their homework, where they will do the homework. Okay, Anthony is going to get the kitchen table. Susanna likes to do her homework on her bed, and she seems to get it done. If she can still get the grades she's getting, that's okay. And Michael's got to learn how to play quietly while the older kids are doing their homework. And all of us now have complicated schedules as to when mom goes to work and who comes home at what time. So it's not simple, and sometimes it's not easy. But all of us need procedures, and the whole family needs to understand what the procedures are. And let me give a few examples. Let's say the parents in the family work nights, and so the older kids put the younger kids to bed. When you come home from work, on the kitchen table, is there a note from your child that says, "Mom, I finished the outline for my report. Can you look at it before you go to bed?" If your child knows that before she goes to bed, she needs to put that homework assignment on the kitchen table with a little note, and that when you come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to take 5 minutes and say, "Wow, that you really did that well." And somewhere as we go from the time the kids finish their homework to when dad or mom gets home, or however that works, that there are procedures that they've been talked about and that they work. I encourage families to imagine that you had a videotape that showed everything that happened in your house. And we were particularly looking at how does homework get done? Here are your kids, they're coming in the front door. Where does the backpack get put? When do the homework papers come out of the backpack? When Susie looks at her homework, has she written down what the assignment was? This goes back to shared responsibility. Does she know it's her job to have written down that homework assignment? Then when is the time that the kids are going to do the homework? If you don't have a plan, it is very, very hard to enforce it. It's easy to get mad at your kids. Why didn't you do your homework? You had all night. You were probably watching the TV. But that's hard to enforce. What is easier to enforce is, listen, we agreed that at 7 o'clock, this gets shut off. There needs to be a plan. There needs to be a procedure. For example, is there somebody in the family who doesn't have homework to do, who likes to watch a TV show that everybody thinks is a really cool TV show? And can we agree as a family that maybe we're going to give up watching that TV show? Now, here's a problem in many, many American families. More than half the children have a television in their bedroom. That means that when the child goes to his bedroom and says he's doing his homework, there's a TV there, and sometimes you just put it on for a second and you end up watching four shows and somehow the homework doesn't get done and you have a whole big argument about it and it's a mess. This goes back to the messages we send our kids. Are the grown-ups in the family willing to turn off the television or the music videos because it's hard for the kids to get their homework done with the television going? It's easy to give a speech. It's easy to tell the kids to turn off their favorite shows. It's a very different message if I say, "Listen, I love to watch that, but tonight I'm going to turn it off. Or you know what? Let's see if we can work on our homework in the hour before that. Because if you get your homework done, we can all watch it before we go to bed." The procedures need to be clear. They need to be workable for the people in your family, in the real lives that they actually live. Let me give some more suggestions about the kinds of routines we can have in a household. When you're cooking in the kitchen, is your child, who is 9 years old, sitting at the kitchen table reading out loud to you? Or is your child in the other room watching TV? It takes the same amount of time, but it sends a very different message. If you say, "Listen, when I'm getting dinner on the stove, I want you in the kitchen table, read to me out loud." And any parent can do that, whether their own reading skills are terrific or not so terrific. It's just something you need to build into the schedule. And so my recommendation about homework, about getting reports done, is you've got to think about the calendar, you've got to think about the schedule, and you've got to be doing it every day, every week as the school year goes on. One of the ways to keep track of it all is to look at the school calendar. Schools are very predictable. You need to be ready. You need to have a family calendar in the kitchen. And when the school sends home a paper that says when report cards are going to come out, you put it on the calendar. And you can ask, David, how do you think you're going to do? And it gives you a chance to say, you know, you worked so much harder this term, I think it's going to be good. There are a lot of events that occur during the school year, and sometimes you get a little slip of paper, and sometimes they send you a list of them. It's important to get the calendar on your wall and to write them all in. Put down not just when report cards come out, but when's the parents' night? When are parent conferences? When are the plays? Does the eighth grade always do a play in the spring? Is there a science fair? Is there a math fair? All the events that happen through the year are part of your relationship to the school. And the more you can be ready and enjoy them, the better it is for you and your kids. In many schools, everybody gets very excited about school in August. You buy clothes, you get pencils, the kids line up their pencils, they need to have 11 erasers, and they get everything all organized. And there's an enormous amount of wonderful energy to get ready for school. But a month later, it's gone. And the kids are not lining up their pencils, and the parents are not asking about homework in the routine way that needs to happen every day, every week, every month, all the way through the school year. And then what happens sometimes is report cards come out. Let's say report cards come out in November. I say to students and I say to parents, when your report card comes out, if you're doing your job, it shouldn't have a lot of surprises in it. If you're having difficulty with something, you should know that long before the report card comes out, and your mom should know it, or your dad should know it. And you should be doing some problem solving and talking with your teacher and getting some help. But even if it is a surprise, there are three things you need to do when grades come out, whether this is a report card or a grade on a test or a grade on a report. When grades come out, or in some more progressive schools, it's a written paragraphs explaining how your child is doing. First thing you have to do is, do you understand what the report card says? And if you don't understand it, at report card time, there's probably somebody in the school who will be glad to explain it to you, or there's somebody in your neighborhood who knows about schools, or a teacher in your family. There's someone who can sit down with you, and it takes half an hour, but you should go over it and make sure, do I understand what it says? And then there are two more responses. You need to celebrate the good stuff. When your child does well, if that's, oh, good, that's great, that's not enough. If your child really worked hard and got a B minus in that class where she was getting a D last term, where she was worried about getting a D, or she got a D on the first quiz, we need to celebrate. And whether in your family that's renting the video that she wants to watch this weekend, or whether it's going out and getting some special food, or whether it's just hanging out with each other instead of racing around, some kind of celebration. You need to send your kid a message. I noticed how hard you're working. I noticed that it's paying off. I noticed that you're doing well, and it's terrific, and I'm proud of you, and you should be proud of you. And here comes your cousin, and she should be proud of you too. We need to celebrate. In some families, sometimes people get a little bit stuck because one child in the family may be getting A's and another child is getting C's, and the family doesn't know how to deal with that. And the not very helpful way to deal with that is to think of, oh, she's the smart one in our family and he's the not so. That's not helpful. What is helpful is to focus on effort, focus on hard work. What your children all need to understand is that what really matters is how much did you put into this. And it's important for the child who's getting A's, who for whom it feels like magic, it is very important that that child understands how to get help, how to work hard on something, because often at a certain point in his or her schooling, the magic stops. And if they counted on it to just be magic, oh, I just easily understand this stuff, many children who could have done really well, the magic stops and they have not a clue how to work their way back to the kinds of grades that they were used to. And the child who is struggling from the beginning needs to be rewarded for the courage, the bravery, the perseverance, how she sticks with it, how he really works hard, because that, in the end, is the most important thing. And sometimes the report card or the grades are not particularly good news. And then what we need to do is problem solve. We need to solve the problem. We need to find the on-ramp. And if we can't find the on-ramp, we need to build the on-ramp to get back on track. Here's what we do instead of that, and it's a mistake. We often spend a lot of energy arguing about whose fault it is. The teacher should have explained it better. I told you you should have been working harder on your homework. And that's where the energy goes. That almost never helps. And particularly if we start blaming the school, what often happens is the family blames the teacher and the school, and the school blames the student and the family. And what's happening while all this fault-finding and blaming is going on is Susie isn't getting any help to get back on track. That's what she needs. We need to figure out, okay, you got a warning that you may fail this course. Let's sit down and figure out which parts of this do you not understand, and how can we get you some help to understand that? Let's take a child who didn't hand in half a dozen assignments and got a terrible grade. In some situations, the teacher is still waiting for those assignments, and if you get them in, you can make up the grade, you can improve it, and the teacher will actually change the grade that you got for that week or even that term. In other cases, the teacher will say, no, there's no point in doing that now. We're moving on to a different topic, and what you need to do is to start this term and be on top of it. And you need to ask the teacher. The student needs to ask the teacher if he or she is brave enough. The parent needs to find time. You need to ask somebody in your family who can go. We need to problem solve. And the goal of problem solving is that on-ramp. How do we get back on that path that is going where we want to be headed? The good news about problem solving is that it feels a lot better than blaming and fault finding. It actually helps us realize that we can get this straightened out. The guideline I say to children and to parents and to teachers is that help should help. Your child needs to learn to be brave enough, and I use that word, you need to teach your child to have the courage to ask for help. They need to know that when you ask for help, you are being brave, and then we can get help that helps. So, it's Grandma's birthday. How do we send a message that we're in favor of academic success? Let's write Grandma a poem instead of going to the drugstore and buying her a card. She'll love it. She'll be proud of it. We'll all write the poem together, and it sends a message to the kids that our language, our ideas, our rhymes are better than the ones that they print on those cards at the drugstore.